Fan Junkies Radio is brought to you by FanJunkies.net, where sports meet social networking.
Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another exciting episode of Fan Junkies Radio. I am your host, Jonathan Ragus. Alongside me, my co-host, Mike McShane. Mike, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, how are we doing today, Jonathan? Boy, we were just talking, what a beautiful day. 60-some degrees out.
It's spring out there.
I love it. I love it.
It's spring.
Hey, listen, too, I want to throw out real quick to you. Congrats to you and Brett yesterday on a wonderful inaugural show of Wrestle Chat. Here on Fan Junkies Network. Wonderful job. It was informative, provocative stuff for anybody that follows wrestling, of which I do not.
and yet you liked it. Go figure.
Well, I listened in. You know, I felt I had to give you guys a little bit of support, and I did check it out. And I thought, wow, what a nice job you guys did. Wonderful.
Yeah, you know what? For not advertising, we had a few hundred listeners, which is great. You know, it's only going to get better. We're going to do it every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern time here on Fan Junkies Radio. We'll talk about the WWE, we'll talk about Impact, we'll talk about Ring of Honor, we'll talk about the independent scene, we'll talk about anything pro wrestling. And we also take calls, so, you know, once again, thanks for Brett for helping, you know, for letting us bring Wrestle Chat Radio here to the Fan Junkies Radio Network. And thank you for Justin Henry, who's a writer over at thecamelclutchblog.com, for calling in and joining us for most of the show. It was a good time.
Yeah, real good insight. I mean, truly. I mean, I don't follow wrestling, but for those that are out there that do, you got to put it on your menu for sure.
Yeah, it's not just for fanboys. We talk about the business aspects of wrestling, amongst other things. So it was good. It was real good, and we nice debut episode yesterday.
It was real good job.
Yeah, thank you, bro. Man, thank you. We appreciate that, Mike.
You're very welcome.
Your opinion means everything to us.
I'm sure it does.
Well, when it comes to pro wrestling, it does, man. All right. Well, you know what? We have an exciting episode here. We're going to talk a lot of things. We're going to get into some NFL first, though. Mike, let me ask you this. Have you ever had an injury?
Oh, yeah, I have.
Have you ever had, like, a torn ligament, a broken bone?
Yeah, you know, I think probably the worst I ever had, and I didn't even realize it, I pulled a hamstring.
Okay, and, roundabout number, how long did it take for you to recover from that?
Well, see, I didn't know it. I didn't know that I had a hamstring pull. And so what I did was I needed a number of weeks, about a week and a half or so. I rested it. It felt pretty good. I went out and I redid it, and I pulled it again. And see, that made it worse, and then I was down and out for a number of weeks.
Well, let me tell you something, because there's this new exciting spray. Sprinkler spray. If you sprayed all of your hamstrings, Mike, 2-3 days tops, you would have been back.
I know. I understand too. You can use it as a breath freshener.
Maybe, I don't know. But if you like swats, this is for you. You're probably thinking, what the hell are we talking about here on Fan Junkies Radio today? We're talking about the report from yesterday, Ray Lewis. A few years ago, I don't know what kind of injury he had, Mike. I can't even think about it off the top of my head right now. But he inquired about getting a SWAT. And what a SWAT is sports with alternatives to steroids. It was a spray, and it had a substance that was a banned PED, Mike, which is connected to a human growth hormone. And, so Ray Lewis got this spray. He used it for his injury to get back onto the field quicker.
Right.
So here you go, right before Super Bowl Sunday, Mike, this comes out. What do you think?
Well, there was rumor that he used it with the most recent injury, with the tricep injury, right? Wasn't that the case? It was that. He claims he didn't. There's been conflicting reports as to whether, in fact, the substance is actually banned or not by the NFL. One report I read indicated it is on the list. Another report I read said it wasn't. So I'm not even 100% certain. You know, there's a lot of jokes going on about it. What, it comes from deer antler or something to this effect?
Yeah.
Is that the deal? And he used the spray. What? It was underneath his. He was supposed to spray it underneath of his tongue or something.
Yes, yes. You spray it underneath your tongue.
Yeah, yeah. See, that's what I'm saying. I mean, I guess you could use it as a breath freshener.
I guess so. I wonder how it smells, man. That's,
can you imagine that?
you know what? I just can't even see myself using stuff like that, even if I did want to get back on the field quicker.
Oh, I hear you. I guess the question, that story comes out at the same time that the story is breaking out of Miami about the PED use and the clinic or company that was down there that was supplying so many different athletes, and I don't even think we've even scratched the surface yet on that.
Yeah, right away, you had Alex Rodriguez, who we know, steroid user. It's been proven already. Melky Cabrera, who we know just was suspended this season for about 50 games for failing a drug test.
Right.
Bartolo Colon,
right.
Nelson Cruz, and then also Gio Gonzalez, Washington Nationals pitcher, was on that list. But I'm sure there will be a lot more.
Yeah, I think there were some other sports, too, that were represented. I mean, from what I read of it.
Well, I'm sure there were, but they only cared about baseball.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't get a chance to read the entire article. But there were some other athletes in other sports that were mentioned.
Yeah, but it wasn't really anything of the stature of the baseball players that were
correct
on this list from what I read. So.
Correct. And so here we go again. I come away from it a little bit, what's the word I want? Conflicted, I guess. I'm on record, and Jonathan, you and I, we've talked about PEDs, and I'm completely opposed to PEDs of any nature in any sport.
Yeah.
And yet, the whole issue with Ray Lewis, to me, I kind of dismiss it. It's like, I don't care. I care in baseball, but for some reason or another, I don't care if Ray Lewis used anything in this. And I'm not even sure I can necessarily explain it myself. And I'm wondering if other... No, seriously. Seriously, I'm wondering if other people feel the same way, because I get the sense out there that when it comes to the sport of football, we don't really give a damn if players are using PEDs.
Yeah. Well,
that's the sense I get.
Well, let me ask you this. If Ray Lewis was an up-and-coming star in the NFL right now and he was on your team, would it bother you as much as a guy who's on his last rope and is going to be done after this year? Would it bother you if it was the guy taking it was the future of the National Football League, is what I'm asking.
Yeah, see, and Jonathan, I think that's what I'm saying. I think I'm conflicted because, frankly, I think it's a matter of I don't care. I don't care. It's very weird. I don't know. We've heard about NFL players getting suspended in the past. And to me, I sit there and it's kind of like, okay, all right, so they got suspended. All right,
fine.
Yeah. But when it's a baseball player, I'm up in arms about it.
Well, there you go, because this came out yesterday. There's really not that much hubbub over it. Now, if it came out and let's say it was, Mike Trout that did it,
right,
it would be everywhere. People would be up in arms. Now, is it because it was America's favorite pastime that it's coming out of, or is it because it's coming out of a league where there's worse things going on?
Right.
Players getting away with murder. Players doing this, players doing that. You know what I mean? Getting beat up, getting stabbed in nightclubs all the time. Is that the least of their worries in the NFL? Is that basically where we're going with this, Mike?
Yeah, I know. And this is where I'm saying I'm conflicted about it. And I'm going to tell you, you were kind of chuckling there a little bit when I said it on the front end. But I don't think that I'm unique. I think that there are a lot of people.
I feel the same way.
Exactly. And here's how I'm going to throw it right now. Let me do this. 347-237-5373. I want somebody, or as many people as possible, talk to me. Do you feel the same way I do? That for some reason or another, we just don't seem to place the same type of emphasis on PED usage in the NFL as we do, say, in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, because it really seems like we don't. So, and it's the truth. I mean, seriously, Colin, let us know what you think about it. Do you think everybody should be up in arms over Ray Lewis's use of a spray that had a banned substance in it? Or should we just let it go because it's football?
Right, exactly. Now, let me stay on Lewis for a moment.
Yeah.
Let me just stay on, because I want to throw a question at you, Jonathan, and I want you to be honest with me.
Yeah.
I heard a number of people complaining yesterday. These were sports analyst types complaining yesterday that they felt that here it is, the biggest platform, the biggest game of, I guess, one's career, the biggest game in the world, the Super Bowl.
Mm.
And that Ray Lewis needed to come out and address the criminal case that he was involved in 13 years ago. And I, for one, felt that he did not need to. And I felt he didn't need to because, in fact, he's addressed it. It's been addressed. Why are we going down that road again? And so I throw the question at you, Jonathan. Do you feel that Lewis, on this platform, in this year, considering that this issue goes back 13 years ago, do you feel that in some way or another he owes the fans or he needs to in some way or another address the situation?
Well, instead of saying something like no comment or it was a long time ago, I'm not getting into it, I think a nice little subtle explanation of it would have been like, yeah, you know what, I looked into it. I didn't know it was a banned substance years ago. I know about it. If I knew it back then, I absolutely would not have done it. You know what I mean?
I'm talking about the murder case.
Oh, with the murder case. I thought
that's
you were talking
what I'm
about.
Talking about. I'm talking about that.
Listen, no matter where you go, Ray Lewis's name is always going to be tied to murder or murderer. You know what? If they're going to keep asking him, it's his duty to say, no comment, I'm not talking about it anymore, I talked about it enough, whatever.
Right.
I'm not a Ray Lewis fan. I am one of the people, he got away with murder. That's up to him. I mean, if people want to keep asking him questions about it, that's their job and their duty as, media people and writers and analysts to ask. But if they don't get an answer from him, that's Ray Lewis's job either to answer or not answer him.
But you don't necessarily feel he is compelled or he has to.
I turn around and say, well, guess what? Statute of limitations is up. I did it. It's not going to happen.
Right.
It's just beating a dead horse. But before we get to anything else, we have a caller coming in from 610 area code. 610, what's on your mind?
Hi, it's Mike. I want to talk a little bit about this Ray Lewis issue.
Go ahead.
He was taking it to what? Heal himself faster, right? To get better faster for the game.
Yeah, you're breaking up there, Mike.
If you have the speakers up, can you turn them down a little bit?
Is that better?
Nah, actually not better at all. You're breaking up on our end. Try to call
all
back.
Right, hold on.
Sorry about that. Yeah, I don't know why. We're getting a lot of static over our lines.
Yeah, and it'll probably be one of those situations, again, where, everybody else out there can hear
everybody. Yeah, it probably sounds great on your end, people, but if it doesn't sound great on our end, then
we can't understand them, right?
If we can't listen to a question, we can't answer the question, unfortunately.
That's unfortunate, too.
Yeah, it happens once in a while. I don't know if it's Skype. I don't know if it's over here on our end with Blog Talk Radio, but it happens.
Yep.
Yeah, Mike, to me it's just beating a dead horse now. Like I said, Ray Lewis is not going to come out. One guy's not going to ask him over at media day and say, hey, well, did you do it? Well, of course I did it. Statute of limitations is up. Don't worry about it. That's not happening. He's always going to deny it. He's going to deny it till the day he dies, whether he did or, whether he did it or didn't do it, he's still going to deny it.
To me, it's an old story. Leave it alone and move on.
Absolutely. Let's see if we can get Mike back in here, if we can hear him a little better. Hey, Mike.
Is this better?
Much better.
A little bit, yep.
Okay. The Ray Lewis issue. He was using it to perform to get better for the games so he could play, right?
Correct.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I was watching today. I was watching Good Day Philly, and they were saying that in predicament of 30 to 40 years, there might not be any more football on the reason of players getting hurt too much, too many concussions, and these guys are not reporting their injuries on the fact that they are too afraid to be fired.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, it's true. I mean, we spoke about it on Monday, Mike, with Bernard Pollard's comment saying that in 30 years, the NFL is not going to exist because of all the injuries.
Correct.
We mostly agreed with his comments because guess what? It's only going to get harder, the NFL. They're looking for tougher guys every year within the draft, and, they're shaping these guys to be beasts. And eventually, like Bernard Pollard said, and we talked about it on Monday, Mike, the fear is that the next step is somebody is going to eventually get killed on the field.
Yeah, right. And I think the concern is, and I'll echo it again as I did on Monday. The concern is not so much the current crop of athletes. The concern is, are parents going to let their youngsters play the game as we know it? Now, you know, I heard comments being made yesterday, because this continues to be a story. I heard comments being made yesterday by a number of quote-unquote analysts, again, who said that what we have to do is we have to start having our Pee Wee teams, we have to start having our Pop Warner teams, our high school teams, our collegiate teams, teaching kids the proper way to tackle. And that if they can do that, and if they're successful in that, then potentially you might see the game exist. But if we're going to continue to go at this the way we're doing it right now, my concern is that you're not going to have the pool of prospective players to be playing this game into the future.
No, because it's definitely going to take a lot of steps backwards, Mike. You know, you get back to the basics of it within Pop Warner and Pee Wee. You come back up. Along the lines, you're going to run into some coaches who are going to want you to hit better. They're going to want you to hit harder. The game is just only going to evolve again into that aspect. Mm-hmm. It might take a bunch of years, but it's eventually going to do it again. So to me, it's just really starting over and then, you know, 30, 40, 50 years down the line, it going back to where it is today. So
I think here's the one thing that I think that we would probably both agree on.
True.
And that is that 20, 30, 40 years from now, if in fact there is a game of quote-unquote football in America, it's going to look very different than what it does right now.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's definitely going to look a lot different. Thanks for calling in, Mike. We appreciate it. Let's stay with football, though. We have something else to talk about here. During media day, Randy Moss, 49ers wide receiver, comes out. Said it right away. I am the greatest wide receiver ever, Mike.
Uh-huh.
Ever.
Yep.
I love Jerry Rice's comments. Jerry Rice had to respond. You know Jerry Rice wasn't going to sit down and take it. Jerry Rice goes, I'm very surprised Randy Moss used that in those words, that he's the greatest. You never hear me say I'm the greatest football player to ever play the game. I let my body of work speak for itself, and I think I was able to be very productive on a football field.
Uh-huh.
Then we also hear that Moss said that you can't define my Hall of Fame status by stats. What are we supposed to define Randy Moss's Hall of Fame with? His character off the field?
Yeah, there you go.
That's
there
really going to get him into the Hall of Fame.
There you go.
Let me ask you this, Mike. Who's the greatest wide receiver in your mind?
It's a no-brainer. Come on. It is absolutely a no-brainer. Jerry Rice is by far the greatest receiver I've seen in my lifetime. Randy Moss must have been having dinner the night before he said that with Chris Bosh. That's all I can think.
It must be, man. I mean, like, what the hell, man? We were just talking about Bosh coming out saying that he's a Hall of Famer.
Exactly.
And here we go with, Randy Moss calling himself the greatest of all time. The great thing is, I was reading the article which says, no matter what you could say about Randy Moss, he has matured. What we saw at Media Day yesterday, that's not a mature player.
Yeah. Well, listen, if that's mature, man, I'll tell you. You know, I don't know where these guys, and I said it on Monday, and I'm going to say it again. How do you go out and self-proclaim? I mean, I don't get it. How do you self-proclaim? Don't you allow other people to make these characterizations for yourself? Don't you allow others to do that? Let somebody else make that statement. When you say it, you look like an idiot. You look like an egotistical moron.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's nothing you can say right there about Randy Moss than nothing but, once again, egomaniac.
Yeah, and I don't get it. I don't understand why these athletes, these prima donnas, feel that they have to go out there and toot their own horn. Do your stinking job, and then others will let you know what you are.
Yeah. Now, let me throw this out there to you, Mike. You know me, I'm a big Calvin Johnson fan. To me, best wide receiver in the game for the last couple of years and possibly going to be going forward now. He's already almost at 8,000 yards in 6 seasons, almost 60 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. Do you see Calvin Johnson being better than Randy Moss? If he stays on the plane that he's on right now and keeps going.
Yeah, Randy Moss has got over 15,000 receiving yards.
How many seasons?
How many? I'm not sure, dude. I'm not sure. How many seasons?
14 seasons.
14. Okay, so he's got...
Calvin Johnson has 8,000.
He's on track currently to outpace Randy Moss. Yeah.
I guess depending on what kind of quarterback he has, right?
And whether he can stay healthy.
Yeah. Wow. Amazing, man. I was just looking at his stats, Megatron. I was like, Jesus. I mean, you know, talk about the greatest of all time. I think Calvin Johnson might take over there and be second.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
But, yeah, you know, going back to the whole thing, I mean, Mike, what the hell is going on with these athletes, man, self-proclaiming themselves as being Hall of Famers, being the greatest of all time, talking about how they're better than, you know, the people they looked up to and they tried to mimic their games after? I just don't get it.
Yeah, it's sick. It really is sick.
You know, and we thought we would, you know, that was going to be it with Chris Bosh on Monday.
Oh, no, dude. Come on. You know, it's like we've said before. This is all just beginning. This kind of thing is just going to continue.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, especially if Randy Moss gets a game-winning touchdown in the Super Bowl here, you know we're never going to hear the end of it from Randy Moss.
God, no.
Oh, boy, I tell you, man. All right, Mike. Well, guess what? It's time for our ugly uniforms.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is what we've been talking about. We've been promoting this.
Oh, yeah. This is a segment I'm very, very happy about, Mike. I don't know about you.
Okay.
I've been looking forward to this. So here's what we're going to do. Everybody listening in, if you want to get involved, this is going to be the interactive part of our episode today.
Yeah, please. You got to jump in on this.
Absolutely. Please call in 347-237-5373. Let us know what you think some of the ugliest uniforms in sports were, or if you agree or disagree with what Mike and I choose. So, Mike, this is how we're going to do it. I'm going to throw out a uniform that I think is one of the ugliest in sports, and I want your opinion on it.
Okay.
And then after that, I want you to throw out something that's on your list.
Okay.
I'm going to give you my opinion on it. So I'm just going to go up and down my list here because I have a lot of uniforms here.
Yeah, I think you probably have more than I do.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably. One of the ugliest uniforms. I'm going to go a little bit newer than most people. I want to see if you remember this uniform. The Phoenix Coyotes uniform from 1998, Mike. I don't know if you remember it, but it was kind of like a coyote looking like he was etched in stone almost.
Oh, yeah.
The trees and everything underneath it, the ugly dark green and red colors that they chose for it. Is this one of the ugliest uniforms in sports history?
Okay, you know what made that uniform so horrible, Jonathan? Is the logo.
Exactly.
That's what made it so bad. It wasn't so much. Yeah, the color scheme wasn't terrific either.
The scheme wasn't good because you had that orange with that purple, that moon.
Yeah.
On the left hand side, it was ugly.
But you could have worked. You could have done something with the color scheme, but that logo was absolutely horrible. That looks like it looked like it was drawn by like a second grader.
Yeah. Well, they tried to go like some kind of tribal.
Yes.
Aztecian type thing. I mean, half hockey mask on the coyote. I still never understood that.
Correct.
But guess what? Before we get into yours now, we got a call coming. 516, what's on your mind?
How you doing? I got first time I'm listening to the show. Good show so far. I got three of like the all-time ugly uniforms.
Sure.
For baseball, how about the Chicago White Sox with the shorts back in like the late 70s?
Yeah. It's definitely on both of our lists over here. That was
probably
the most awful uniform.
That was god-awful. in the NBA, how about the Vancouver Grizzlies when they had Big Country Reeves as their star with that green and that? That was just a mess.
Oh, yeah, the Big Country days in Vancouver. You know what? We were talking about that pre-show.
Brought that one up, Jonathan.
See? And it was like as soon as Canada got two NBA teams, they went to the length of having awful uniforms.
Yep.
To stand out from the rest. And as an Islander fan, those fish sticks, Gordon Fisherman's fish sticks of the mid-90s were just embarrassing.
That's
Fisherman.
We're going to talk about that. We're actually going to talk about that. That's on our list. That's one of the uniforms we're going to be talking to. Thanks for calling in, man. We appreciate it.
The Gordon's Fisherman.
All right. So before we get into the Gordon's Fisherman, Mike, one of the jerseys on your list. Hit me up with.
Okay, I got it. It's my number one, and it just goes back to last year, actually, and that's the Maryland Terrapins football jerseys from last year. In fact, I did a whole thing on it on 5 Minutes at the Frat House about a year ago.
Oh.
And those things are absolutely, without a doubt, and, you know, we've talked about the Oregon Ducks uniforms, who just seem to get increasingly bad from one season to the next, but nothing, in my opinion, comes anywhere near the Maryland Terrapins from last year.
Yeah, nothing takes the cake on those uniforms. What are those ones with the yellow and black on the one side and the? Okay.
Yeah, what they did was they took the flag.
Yeah.
Now, if you know the crest of Maryland, it kind of goes on a slant, right? It looks like a shield,
yes,
and it goes down the slant.
It's on the shield.
Right. And so what they did was they split it in half. And so half the helmet, half the uniform was the kind of Harlequin look, the black and gold diamonds.
Yeah.
And then the other is that red that they picked up from the other side of the shield. It is absolute. They are absolutely grotesque. That's my number one.
It's awful. Now, I agree. Those are one of the most awful, ugliest uniforms I've ever seen. Couldn't they have done a better job? Couldn't they have taken the yellow and black and did that as an away jersey, and then the red and white and done that as a home jersey or something?
There's an idea.
Did they really have to do half with these things? It's awful.
It is to me that, you know, and like you said, you know, the Oregon Ducks are horrible, and every year they come up. You know, they must be in. There must be like some sort of internal NCAA contest that goes on that we don't know about. Who's going to come up with the ugliest uniform this week? And Oregon goes, oh, we're on board. We'll do that. Because every year, what they come out with just looks absolutely terrible. But Maryland last year was atrocious.
Awful. All right, man, here's one of mine. 1999, Mike, we're going to go with. Pittsburgh Pirates has had a lot of ugly jerseys. But
yeah.
I'm going to go, and as you know what, we could say for most of the teams in 1999, with that whole turn forward the clock jerseys that those teams had, the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Yep.
But I'm going to throw out a couple of teams here because, to me, that whole thing is group. The Cleveland Indians, the Mariners, the Rockies, the Pirates, the Diamondbacks. The Diamondbacks are probably the worst one, but out of all of those, I can go okay with the Diamondbacks because the colors mesh, but the whole Pirates jersey, one of the ugliest uniforms in sports, Mike.
You know, it's funny because on our event page on Facebook, I actually posted that picture. I posted three pictures, and I asked for callers and people to make comments and leave their pictures in advance of today's show. And I put up three, and one of them, of course, is the one that I just mentioned, which was the Terrapins. And the second one is exactly the jersey that you're referring to, which is the turn back the clock one for Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
It looks like a Halloween costume.
They were awful.
Absolutely.
But almost. But you know what? Every team's jersey that year was awful.
Absolutely. The Indians was horrible. Take a look at the Astros, the Seattle Mariners.
Yeah.
The
Angels. The Anaheim Angels jersey that year was just gross.
The Colorado Rockies
with
the big old mountain and the baseball that was larger than life.
Yeah.
I don't know who put these jerseys together, but that company is out of business. That was a hit and run. They went in, they made a boatload of money for one season, and they got out.
I was going to say, who the hell did those jerseys, number one? Number two, are they still doing any type of design work? I would hope not.
You got to hope not. Absolutely. Absolutely. They are absolutely grotesque. I can't believe that Major League Baseball would buy into those things.
Awful. Awful.
Absolutely horrible.
All right, Mike, throw me one, man.
Okay, dude, we got to go. Well, let's switch it up and go over to hockey. How about the year, and the Flyers were in on it. How about the year that a number of teams went to the long pants?
Which year was that? I can't remember.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I want to say it was the late 80s because Bobby Clark, Bill Barber, some of the older Flyers were wearing the long pants.
Yeah.
Hartford jumped in on it. I'm trying to think who else. There were a couple of other teams that also – not all of them had to do it. It was not mandated by the NHL.
So it was their choice to do the long pants. I remember that. I remember because it had that orange stripe going down the sides.
Yep.
That was awful.
They looked absolutely ridiculous. But if you're on right now, and just Google the Hartford Whalers ones, the long pants.
Yeah.
Those were absolutely horrible. I mean, the Flyers look
green,
bad.
Green on green for the
exactly.
Whalers.
Exactly. Yeah. The Flyers look bad enough, but the Hartford Whalers look like they look like pajamas.
Let me ask you this. So if the Flyers that year switched up pants with the Chicago White Sox of the 76 season, it actually would have fit in a little better.
Yeah, they would have. You're right. There you go. And we're talking about the short ones. You're talking about the shorts that they wore for Major League Baseball. Yeah, yeah.
So you wonder if they actually got the orders wrong that year.
Right.
Chicago, they ended up getting the Philadelphia Flyers shorts, man.
Yep.
All right, man. One of the other things, going to stay with hockey. I got a couple for hockey, but the one I'm going to throw out here is the Washington Capitals jerseys from about the mid to the late 90s when they did that whole redesign with the whole Capitol and that bird. And that was awful, Mike.
You know, I didn't mind the logo.
That was awful.
It was
neutral. Bad. The uniform is what we're talking about.
Yeah, the uniform. Okay, all right. I can see what you're talking about, the uniform. But the logo itself with the – and I think it's an eagle over the Capitol building, isn't it?
Well, no, not that one. The one from the Capitals, it had like the sort of V coming down at the edge, and it was a bird. Like, you know, it was a bald eagle. Its wings had stars in it, and all you saw was the one talon coming down, like opening up, like coming down, like it was going to...
Oh, okay, yeah, that one. Okay, you're right.
What with the Capitol building and the cross hockey sticks, I believe, were on the shoulders of that jersey.
Right, okay. Gotcha.
So
yeah, you're right. That one was worse than... That one's worse than the one that I'm talking about. You're right.
That was around, like, the 96, 97, 97, 98 season that they did that one. It was awful.
Right. Well, let me stick with hockey. How about, and I'm trying to remember the year. I want to say it would have been, the early 80s. How about the Vancouver Canucks? I think they were brownish with the orange and the yellow V coming down the neck.
Like that brownish orange. Yeah, that was from the 78 to the 84 season.
There you go.
That they had those jerseys and those pants that matched.
Are you kidding me? They actually wore those for 6 years?
They wore them for 6 years, from 78 to 84, I believe.
Yeah, you know, it's no wonder that they didn't have a very good team in those years. Nobody would come to the town to play there and wear that thing.
Let me ask you now, if they have those jerseys now, is anybody stupid enough as a Vancouver Canucks fan to actually purchase that jersey?
You know something? I would, just for the fun of it. As a throwback, yes, I would do that.
I would do the early 90s Canucks, jersey, man. I'd probably get a Bury of that, but I wouldn't get, like, a Hlinka one from that year of, 1979, 1980, man, with those. Oh, that was awful. That was awful, especially with the pants, because the pants had the V that matched with it.
Yes, right.
Awful. All right, man, let's stick with hockey. I'm going to go with the alternate St. Louis Blues 95-96 jersey.
Okay.
If you don't remember this one, this was the one where it had the horn on the front of it, and it was just pointed up towards, like, the player's head. The colors were awful. There was music notes all over it. Three big horns pointed up from the waistline. Probably one of the ugliest jerseys I think I'll ever see, Mike.
I agree with you. That was really bad. I agree.
And you know what? I didn't like the ones that year anyway, with the blue note and the red. And you know what? What wasn't ugly, just wasn't a good jersey. But that took the cake, that alternate.
And you know something? I've always liked the St. Louis Blues ensemble.
Yeah.
You know, I like their color scheme.
I like the color scheme. I like when they went to the blue and yellow, and they just had the blue and yellow. But when they mixed in that red, when Gretzky was on the team back in the mid-90s there, and they had that slant to the back where the numbers had to be slanted too, or the one number was smaller than the second number if it was a double number.
Right.
Awful. But let me tell you, man, they made some strides because I like their jerseys now. Love the color scheme.
How about the first year for the Tampa Bay Devil Rays?
Oh, God.
Right? Now, this was before they were actually the Rays.
Yes.
All right, because now they're just the Rays, because I guess it's politically incorrect to refer to them as Devil Rays. I don't know what the deal is with that. But if anybody remembers the first year of those, their away unis were kind of almost like a light blue. Or like a blue-gray, a bluish, light bluish-gray. But the Tampa Bay logo, the words Tampa Bay or Devil Ray, were in
Devil Rays with the Devil Ray under the Stingray underneath it as, like, the underline of Rays.
Right.
Yeah.
But the color scheme on the logo itself, on the name, was kind of this rainbow type effect.
Yes.
Of navy blue and then this kind of turquoise, and it blended to yellow, greenish, light green, and then yellow. Oh my God.
So it's basically the Miami Marlins ripped their logo off.
Yeah.
Or at least their color scheme, if you think about it.
Yeah, that's true. That actually is true. But those uniforms look like something from the 70s.
It was awful. It was awful. But then, you know what? Your star player on that team that year was a player from the 70s and Wade Boggs, so maybe that's where they were going with it.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
I remember when they did the whole, what is it, the expansion draft that they did, and, you know, they took Wade Boggs, and, oh, my God, Wade Boggs, and they had him, you know, modeling the uniform. Even back then, I shook my head. That was awful.
Yeah, but these uniforms, you know, if you didn't know better, you would have thought it was a throwback. And you had something to throwback to.
Had they even done that with a throwback to the, the Rays now?
I guess they can't.
That jersey at all is a throwback?
I guess you can't. You're not allowed to use the word devil.
Well, I mean, they could use that color scheme. They don't have to, they could take devil out of it. Stupid, man.
'70s and '80s uniforms. And Brandon put this one up on our Facebook page, on the events page, and you brought it up as well. Jonathan, sticking with baseball for a moment, and that was the I guess it would have been late 70s, early 80s. I remember it from the 1980 NLCS, the Astros uniforms. And people think that is a really horrible look. I got to be honest with you. I never found that one to be really all that distasteful.
It was a different time. It wasn't bad. You know, whoever designed the jersey, they knew how to use that color scheme to where they implemented it in a correct manner. They didn't do it in stupid lines. You know, you had the orange, the red, the yellow, the lines going right up to where it said Astros. You had the big star in it.
Right.
It wasn't a bad jersey. I wouldn't mind having myself an Astros jersey like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if there's anybody down in Houston listening to the show, do they use these as throwbacks down there? Or do people buy these? Because I would bet they do.
I've actually seen people rocking those jerseys. Who was it? Not John Scott, man. The pitcher. Actually, I believe it was John Scott, but I could be wrong. Let me know if I'm wrong, whoever's listening. But I've actually seen people rocking that Astros jersey before walking around.
I don't think they're horrible. Don't think they're a bad. I remember it from the NLCS in 1980 because the Phils played against the Astros.
Yeah. Well, I remember from the 86 with the Mets and Astros, too. So.
Oh, were they still wearing them in 86?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they were. Yeah, they were. They had them on. I think they were going back to them once in a while, but they at that point, I think they had the all white with the yellow lines on the orange and yellow on the shoulders.
Okay.
Coming down to the half sleeve.
Okay.
So, where are we going to go here now?
I'll throw one more at you. Shoot. Do you remember the Cincinnati Reds tunics?
I don't think I remember that.
They wore what looked like a vest. It had no sleeves, but they would wear a short sleeve.
Yes, I remember that. I remember that.
I thought they were the stupidest looking thing I've ever seen in my life.
Well, that was in the 90s, wasn't it? Sean Casey and everybody was on the team, wasn't it?
Yeah, I want to say late 80s going into the 90s, yeah.
Yeah, okay, I remember that, because that's when they were just wearing, the under shirts or whatever, and
right.
That was the sleeves of the vest or whatever.
Yeah, because wasn't Booney's son on that team?
Yes, he was.
He was one of the Boones on that team.
Yes, he was on that team. Wasn't Aaron? Aaron Boone.
Brett, or was it Aaron or Brett?
Yeah, Brett was with Seattle at the time.
Okay.
So it was Aaron Boone. Yeah. Awful stuff, man. I tell you. Let's go with the Detroit Pistons jerseys from 1996 when they did the whole redesign, Mike.
Okay.
Do you remember that?
Can't say I do. Go ahead.
That was with when they did the whole design of the Pistons, the I and the T, or excuse me, the I and the S. No, excuse me. Both S's had a tailpipe coming down with fire coming out of it.
Oh, God, yes.
There was a horse on top of it that looked like the bishop of a chess piece.
Right.
With the fire around it, but they had that teal blue.
Right.
Awful.
I remember that one.
Awful.
I remember that one. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Awful. Not only that, I mean, just the color scheme of it all. I could have worked with that logo, but why would you go from such a nice blue to a teal blue with orange and red in it?
Yeah.
So because it bordered around the jersey, so I don't know.
I'll stick with. Let's go back for a moment. Let's go back to the NCAA. Jonathan, I apologize. I don't know exactly what year, but Syracuse Orange Men football. They took their nickname very, very seriously one year. Both top and bottom plus helmet were all orange with blue. Everything else was blue. Blue trim. Blue stripes. Down the legs, blue stripes over the shoulders, blue number. Absolutely horrible look. They look like oranges running around on the field.
Yeah. Well, the funny part is, I remember having a blue T-shirt with the orange Syracuse symbol on it. So I remember them going with that blue at that time.
Yep.
I don't remember the jerseys.
Well, it looks like the Mets threw up all over them.
That's awful, man. Why are you taking shots at me like that, Foley? Awful. All right, well, listen. You know what? I got to go a little newer, man. I got to go with over the last bunch of years. Seattle Seahawks, that neon green, when they first came out, and the whole uniform was neon green.
Yeah.
With just that dark blue on the shoulders. What the hell were they thinking?
Yeah, well, when it was that way, yes. I'll be honest with you. The ones they're currently wearing right now, I don't find them as bad.
No, I don't find those as bad. But when they had guys like TJ Houshmandzadeh and everything on the team when they first came out, and they had the blue sleeves, neon green chest and back.
Yes.
Why the hell did they go with neon green? Did anybody ever hear about that?
Yeah, I don't know what the thinking is there, and they've stuck with that, too. I don't know if that's some sort of – I don't know if there's some sort of significance to that neon green, but they consistently stuck with that.
Well, the logo still doesn't have neon green in it.
But they have the neon green piping that goes over –
yeah.
You know, right.
But does the Seattle Seahawks logo now, the actual bird, it's still just blue on silver blue.
Yes.
There's no neon green implemented at all into their logo. But yet they have neon green in their uniform.
Yeah, if anybody's from the Seattle area, and you can explain that one to us. Huh?
If you're from the Seattle area, and you can tell us what the hell, what's going on with the neon green in Seattle, 347-237-5373. Call in. Let us know what some of your ugly uniforms are.
Absolutely.
Because there's a lot of them, Mike.
There really have been. It's unfortunate, but I don't know what, you know. Ugh.
I would like to know where some of these guys who designed these jerseys went. And one of the jerseys I'd like to know who designed is the 1996 NBA All-Star Game, Mike. With
okay.
I don't know exactly what that was. If that was supposed to be a pepper on it with a basketball, at the end of the hot pepper was spinning the basketball.
1996 NBA All-Star?
NBA All-Star, yes. NBA All-Star Game. The letters, the numbers were crooked on front and back. There was a hot pepper spinning the ball. I believe it was in San Antonio.
That, oh, okay, I see it. Yeah, I've got it up. I've got it up right now.
Yeah, I believe it was in San Antonio that year. I could be wrong, but
This looks like something that was designed by a kindergartner.
Yeah, even the All-Star Weekend logo.
Oh, and that's just a bad color.
Yeah.
It's like a baby blue.
Awful.
It looks like North Carolina blue.
I never once understood it. You know what? The game was at the Alamo Dome. I don't know if it had something to do with some of the heritage down there, but that blue and the – I don't know. I mean, the peppers I could see because of all the the great Mexican food down in San Antonio, but wow. I don't know what they were thinking. But let's get to a call real quick. We got somebody from the 646 area code. What's going on? Is that Big Joe?
Yes, sir. What's up, guys?
The Bronx.
Hey, Joey.
What's up, man? I just, I don't know if you guys probably covered the teams that, the obvious with the ugly uniforms, the old Denver Nuggets uniforms, the old Astros uniforms, and whatnot. But I don't know if you guys mentioned it, but to me, as a Met fan, and it pains me to say this, and I think Jonathan knows where I'm going with this, 1999, the good old Mercury Mets uniforms.
Oh my God. I remember those, man.
Oh,
I remember,
man. I mean, it was just one night, and I was at that game, and I believe Oral Hershiser started that game, and he looked mortified going out on the pitcher's mound with that uniform on. And they even had, like, on the scoreboard in the Diamond Vision, they had, like, when Ricky Henderson would come up to the batter's box, they had his likeness, and he had, like horns or something coming out.
Oh, no, no, yeah, he had Spock's ears.
Yeah, he had something like that. They made him look like
an
alien.
What the hell was that all about anyway? I can't even remember. What the hell was that whole Mercury mess about?
Instead of turn back the clock night, it was turn ahead the clock night. So they were like the clock uni, okay. Yeah, and I, as a Met fan, I'm a diehard Met fan, but that was the one day that I can truly, honestly say, as a Met fan, I wanted to just hide under a rock and never have my face shown again as a Met fan. It was just a complete embarrassment.
There was barely any sleeves on a uniform. I remember when Piazza and Ventura and them were wearing it, they were laughing nonstop. It was... What the hell? I mean, at least the other teams implemented their own logo into it. This whole Mercury Mets thing, that symbol that was on the jersey, I'm not even going to get into it. It was just awful.
Were actually selling it at Shea Stadium. And people were actually dumb enough to buy it.
Because I've never seen anybody rock that. ever.
No, I've seen a couple of people rock it, because at the time I was working at the New York Mets clubhouse shop on 54th Street in Manhattan.
Yes.
Before,
Yes, no, go ahead.
And, yeah, no, so we had those jerseys there. And I can go on record to tell you that I've rung people up personally that were buying that jersey, and I was like, I even asked people, I'm like, why are you buying this? This thing is beyond hideous.
Did you buy anything Mercury Mets, Joe?
Really? You're going to ask me that? Really?
Yeah.
Come on, man, because if we come over your house, are we going to find a Mercury Mets hat somewhere in your house?
If you were to come over my apartment and completely rip it apart, you will not. The only thing you'll find with Mercury Mets is, like, any Mets publications I have that happen to have a photo of that jersey inside
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Awful.
Well, and the names ran sideways down the back next to their number. It's just that, I don't know who, this is what I'm saying. Whatever company that designed these for the entire league, this was a hit and run. They were one and done. They did it, and they got out, and they're out of business.
Well, the jerseys were made by Majestic. I don't know if they had anything to do with designing it, but they definitely made them.
Because I remember when Jason Isringhausen was on the team in '99. His name was too long to fit the jersey, so they just put Izzy on the back of his jersey.
Yep. It was just a colossal fail on the Mets' part. And again, that's like, and the Mets have had their signature moments where you, as a Mets fan, you just want to hang your head and kind of walk the other way.
Yeah.
That Mercury Mets moment is the pinnacle of those moments. Nothing, and I mean nothing, will ever top that moment.
Yeah. I mean, everybody in the organization was getting a laugh over it. So to them, I think it was just one big joke. So.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously.
Oh, it was a joke, all right.
on the Shadetron at the time, you know.
Yep.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable, Joe. Seriously, man, thanks for bringing up, because I actually forgot about those. I think I wanted to, like, wipe my memory of that.
I'm sorry I had to refresh your memory with that, because now you're going to have that eyesore in your head now, you know, those jerseys and whatnot. But, you know, again, they were ugly, they were hideous, and they left me scarred as a Mets fan.
Scarred.
Yes.
You know what? I appreciate you ruining my day, Joe.
Sorry,
that's
bro.
Outstanding. That's really, outstanding.
Really do, Joe. All right, Joe, man. Thanks for calling in as always, buddy. We appreciate it, man.
Thanks, Joey.
Anytime.
Yeah, man, that Mercury Mets thing, I totally forgot about that, Mike.
That's good.
That was just awful.
To think that there are fans out there that are scarred by what their players wore.
Even that, to think that there are fans out there that actually bought that crap. My God.
Funny, funny stuff. Real quick, Jazzy, because I know we got a couple other things we want to jump onto yet before we finish up today. You know, it's a funny thing we're talking about uniforms today. There was a comment made, and as you know, I listen to a lot of sports talk radio here in Philadelphia. There was a comment made yesterday by one of the sports talk folks that I listen to here. Made a comment about the Flyers uniforms.
Okay.
And indicated that they feel that the logo itself, you know, the flying P, the puck, it looks like a P and with the wings on it, that it's old, archaic, outdated, needs to be modernized and amped up. What's your thinking on that?
Nah, not at all. I think these are stay away these days. Honestly, if you're going to go and redesign the Philadelphia Flyers logo, you can't. You just can't, seriously. I'm a diehard Rangers fan. You just can't do it. I think if they were going to redesign the Flyers logo, they should have done it years ago. Now you can't do it.
They actually have tried on a few occasions.
And they went right back to what they got.
Exactly, because there was just too much of a demand for the tradition of the look.
I agree. That, you know what? That's like the Rangers taking the Rangers going from shoulder to their left hip, taking that off the jersey, and then just never having that again.
I agree with you. That's a classic look.
Yeah. You know what it is, man? It's, you know what? Not many teams and not many leagues still have a lot of history inside their unis and their logos. And, you know what?
Boston has got to be the B in the circle. All right? The year that they went with the freaking bear on the front, that was a disaster in my opinion.
Yeah. Listen, it wasn't – as an alternate jersey, it wasn't bad. But to go full-time with it. Yep. That's when I have a problem with it, Mike.
I mean, Detroit with the wheel, with the wings, you got to have that.
You got it, man. You know what, man? You know what? Especially with the original team. Same thing with the Maple Leafs. You have to have the Maple Leaf on the front of the jersey.
Yep.
You just can never take that off.
Yep. I agree.
Never take it off. Same thing with the Rangers. You got to have the shield in some format. And they redesigned the Rangers shield because, you know, it changed width. It changed, you know height sometimes. But they always kept it the New York Rangers shield.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way it'll always stay. So, but I agree, man. They should not do anything with the Philadelphia Phillies, Flyers logo.
There you go.
It's better or not. Stupid. Since we're talking hockey, let's stay with hockey, Mike.
Yeah, you got it.
We're going to talk about last night's Flyers-Rangers game, but before we get to that, we have a little challenge going on, Mike.
We have a little contest we're going on here.
We have a little contest here. We went from our football contest, which you slaughtered me at the end in, and now we're doing the Hat Trick Challenge on NHL.com, which you can go to hattrick.nhl.com. Every day they ask you three questions, Mike.
Yep.
Here are today's three questions, and then we'll give out our answers.
You got it.
Number one. Which team will win tonight? Montreal Canadiens against the Ottawa Senators. Mike, I have the Canadiens. Who did you pick?
I picked the Senators.
Okay, so there you go. We're split there. Number two, will Zach Parise register at least 1 point as the Wild plays the Chicago Blackhawks tonight? Mike, yes or no?
I said yes.
I said yes as well. Which team will win tonight between the Colorado Avalanche and the Vancouver Canucks? I have the Avs, Mike.
I've got Canucks.
Good. All right, so there you go. So we got one question. So this is all we're going to do. We're going to do this every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday during hockey season. We're gonna do this Hat Trick Challenge on NHL.com, and we'd like you guys to join in with us.
Right.
Go to hattrick.nhl.com. You register. It's free. Every day you got three questions. You answer the questions. If you get all three right, guess what? You got a hat trick.
Right. Now, I've done it. I've done it for 2 days. All right.
I've done it one day.
And I got a hat trick on my first day. I got all three correct. And last night I only had one incorrect, so I didn't get the hat trick last night, but I did have two goals.
Okay. Well, I got one last night on mine because that was the first time I did it because you told me 2 days too late.
Right.
Because you wanted to get one up on me. So that hat trick doesn't count. It starts today, Mike.
We're counting it from this point forward.
Yes, it starts today. So if everybody's listening, if you hear Mike talking about how he's got one up on me towards the end of the season, remember – that one doesn't count.
That's right. And what's that URL again so we can get our listeners to jump in on it, John?
At trick.nhl.com. And eventually we're going to make a Fan Junkies Radio League on there. So
I think that would be cool. I think that would be real cool.
Which league, depending on how many we can have in the league, send an email over to us at info@fanjunkies.net, and we'll try to get you in the league with us.
There you go.
So then we can do standings every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday here on Fan Junkies Radio.
There you go.
Well, let's talk about the game last night, Mike.
Yeah.
A lot of games last night, but we're going to talk about the Flyers and Rangers game. Why? Because I'm a Rangers fan, you're a Flyers fan, it just works out that way, and it seems better for us. Rangers won, 2-1.
Yeah.
So, now the Rangers are 3-3 finally on the season. They're back at .500. Flyers are still 2-5, 4 points.
In the basement.
But what I got to really say is here, Brizgalov has been great for your Philadelphia Flyers, Mike.
Yeah, he has been. Let me back it up. I'm not going to say great. He's been better than he was last year.
So what he was last year, he's playing great now. Listen, a goalie's job in the NHL is not only to save shots, but it's to give your team the best chance to win a game.
Yes.
He's been doing that for the Flyers.
Yes.
Unfortunately, Flyers offense, Flyers defense has been awful.
Absolutely awful. You had the chat room going last night over on Fan Junkies, and I jumped in there a little bit, and I made the comment at one point. When you take a look at this, the Rangers led in almost every single category.
Yep.
They led in takeaways. They led in giveaways. They led in hits. They led in total shots. They led, really, and I think this was important, Jonathan, they led in faceoffs won.
Which has been huge because the Rangers have been awful on the faceoff so far this season.
And the Flyers were absolutely dreadful last night on the faceoff in the first two periods.
Yeah.
Absolutely horrible.
Yeah, Giroux had 11 faceoffs won, but he lost 12, Mike.
Yeah.
And we had Brad Richards won 16, lost 11. Brian Boyle won 10, lost 6.
Right.
But the great thing, Derek Stepan turned it around a little bit, looked really good last night, so did Carl Hagelin. Stepan was 8-1 from the circle.
Right. Now, you suffered a potential loss there with Callahan. You have an update on that?
No update yet on Ryan Callahan. What's going around, though, is that it looks like he does have a dislocated shoulder.
Oh, ouch.
So, depending on how terrible the injury is and what's going to happen, it could be anywhere from 2 games to 2 to 4 weeks to more. So, but he is going undergoing an MRI later this afternoon, and then we should know about the extent of the injury And we'll announce it over on Ranger Nation at NYRNation.net, as well as on Twitter at NYRNation. So.
And how will that affect your Rangers, do you believe?
It's going to affect their identity big time. Right now they're having depth problems. They don't really have anybody in the AHL that could come up and replace a Ryan Callahan. They tried to sign Jason Arnott last weekend, but they didn't deem him healthy enough to play, so that fell through.
Right.
I don't know what's going to happen, Mike.
Right.
I don't know what's going to happen. I know that the Carolina Hurricanes have put Zach Boychuk, former first round pick, on waivers today. So that's an opportunity right there. I don't think it'll happen.
That's not a replacement for Callahan.
Yeah, I mean it's not a replacement for Callahan, but you're going to have to get a guy in there that's going to try to score some goals, at least set up some goals. No matter who you get. It's not a Ryan Callahan, Mike.
No, I agree.
Ryan Callahan is a very special player in the NHL. Every team would crave to have a Ryan Callahan on their team. You just don't replace that type of guy after he goes down.
Yep.
So.
With regard to just an overall analysis of the Flyers, I'll throw it out there. There's a couple of things that are really, really concerning, I think, to Flyers fans. Number one, their special teams in the power play and the penalty killing are absolutely horrible.
Yes.
Absolutely terrible. I already brought up the face-off situation. The Flyers right now are the most penalized team in the entire league.
Yes.
That shows a lack of discipline. That is not an issue, in my opinion, that is in any way whatsoever a hangover from the lockout. That's just a lack of discipline, and I don't understand that when you've got a coach like Peter Laviolette, that they're being this undisciplined in getting that many penalties. But you know, obviously, your penalty-killing squad is not going to be very good if they're constantly having to be out there on the ice.
Yeah, well, you only had three penalties last night.
Last night was kind of a bit of an anomaly, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But really, when it comes right down to it, this team just seems to be missing a character. And I'm gonna name a character, and I think that is Jaromir Jagr.
Well, I mean, you always have to have a guy like that. You know, I think the Rangers have those type of guys in Gaborik and Richards and Nash, so they're lucky enough to have three outstanding veterans. You know, signing Mike Knuble was, you know, a good start for Philly, but where else are they going to go? I honestly think one of the things that they should do is, you know, because they're doing so poorly in the fast stuff, they should look at Damon Lenkow. You know, he's still out there as a free agent.
Yeah.
You know, Brinkman, it's not going to hurt.
Right.
You know what? Even Jason Arnott. You know, a lot of people are saying that he is healthy. He could play, but the Rangers didn't want to take the chance. Maybe the Flyers could do it.
Right.
Who knows? So there are some players out there, but you're right. They're going to have to make some changes.
Yeah, there's something missing. You know, they certainly have talent. There's no doubt about it. They have a young team. The chemistry still doesn't seem to be quite there. But, you know, here's the thing that's, I guess, a little bit alarming to me, and I guess I think to a lot of other Flyers fans, the playing field is level. Everybody's come in with the same disadvantage.
Yeah.
You know, I refuse to use there wasn't enough time to get ready for the season. That's nonsense. All the teams are in the same situation. So
agree. They are. They all are in the same situation, you know. But some others are really reaping the benefits of it. So.
Oh yeah, there's no doubt about it.
You're the Sharks getting a 5-6 game lead already over everybody. That's it's going to be huge in a short season. So.
Absolutely.
All right, Mike. Well, there you go. That's the end of our ugliest uniforms in sports history show. We had some fun here. You know, I wish we would have had a little bit more callers, but for the three callers that called, thank you for doing that.
Absolutely.
As always, head over to frathousesports.net. Check Mike out. The Gang, Sidekick, 5 Minutes at the Frat House. Great videos, great content going up there. And fanjunkies.net, sports social networking at its best. Check it out. Sign up 100% free. And you got to see the Miss February contestants going on over there right now. We got some beautiful girls.
Oh, some Valentines, huh?
Oh, yeah. Some Valentine's ladies. So thank you all for listening once again to Fan Junkies Radio. We'll be back with you on Friday at 12:30 Eastern. So for Mike McShane, I'm Jonathan Ragus. Thank you for listening. We'll see you all Friday.
See you Friday.